It's a pretty song. Great message. If you want your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. We are going to finish tonight. Philippians chapter 4. Giving and receiving. It's amazing again how this theme, the theme of the book of Philippians, joy, but joy produced by selflessness. It's more than just joy, but joy is produced by being selfless. We see that, again, Paul is in prison, yet he never complains. He never talks about himself, per se, and his predicament that he's in. But he's concerned about others. He's concerned about the gospel being spread. He's concerned about those of us to have a Christ-like mind and all these things. And so chapter 1, he deals with Christ, my life, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And in chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you. So we talk about in chapter 2, the mind of Christ, and that we should have the mind of Christ. And then Christ, our goal. He said, I press toward the mark in chapter 3 for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then chapter 4 is Christ, my strength. My strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And it is through Christ that we are strengthened as we preach this morning. And we're going to overlap the messages a little bit tonight. We find in chapter 4 that Paul was cared for, again, by the Philippian church. He rejoiced that they had given to him once again in his time of need. And we'll see that reiterated here in another verse. But Paul had learned to be content, right? He learned contentment in verse 11. And that contentment was applied in his own life in verse number 12. He learned how to be abased. He knew how both to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can. He believed that. I hope that you believe that. I said that a little bit of self, you know, positive motivation. He said, I can. And being a positive person is a great thing. Being a positive person is a good thing. Being a negative person is the opposite. Anyway, we ought to have a positive spirit in whatever God has given us to do. And Paul certainly had a positive spirit. He said, I can do all things. All. You ought to underline the word all. That is, again, as we overlap the message a little bit this morning, personal things. We think about him that we can, as a person, walk with the Lord. That we can have a daily walk. That we can live a holy life. That we can do these things. We can have a Christian family. We can have a Christian home. We can have a church that is out and out and getting out and soul winning and doing the commands of God and fulfilling the Great Commission in a day and age. We can have a church family, again, that's about the Father's business. We can do all these things. Why? Because He strengthens us. Through Christ. Through Christ. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, aren't you? Because I'm His child, I can have strength. I'm under His care. I'm one of His children. He strengthens me. Why? Because He's strong. When I was growing up, my dad, I believed he'd be the strongest person on earth. I still think maybe he is. And he could lift anything, do anything. I remember him arm wrestling and beating everybody. And I'm so glad the day I finally beat him in arm wrestling. Of course, he was like 85. No, I'm just kidding. He's only 68 now, but I want to tell the story. So, me and my dad, I got to be a teenager, and we were arm wrestling. My dad was. He won some champions. He was a very good arm wrestler, been beat very few times. And so, we'd been arm wrestling a few times, and I kept getting beat. I beat everybody else. I'd beat many adult men. I mean, I was 16, 17. I was beating every adult man that I arm wrestled. I beat him. And I said, I don't know why I can't beat my dad. I'm stronger than him. Why can't I beat him? One day we're arm wrestling at my pawpaw's house, and my pawpaw comes over to me afterwards, after my dad beat me again. Pawpaw comes over and says, he's cheating. I said, what? I said, my pawpaw said, he's cheating. And so he told me how he was cheating. And so I said, Dad, we need to arm wrestle again. I feel stronger today. And man, we got down there and I beat him. I said, that's the last time you cheat me. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Cheating, maybe not the word. He was using more wisdom than I was, and so I was being defeated because of his superior intellect. But why can I be strong? Because our God is strong. He's strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The promise of strength is only as good as the source of the promise. I'm thankful that we know our God is strong as we preach this morning. And then strengtheneth, which strengtheneth me. That's continuous. It's a present participle. That E-N-T-H at the end means continuous. That He continually supplies us strength. He continually endues us with power. How does He do that? Through His Word. As we read the Word of God, as we hear it preached, we receive power. And then, of course, through His people. And through God's people. God's people encouraging us. We are to encourage one another. We're to provoke one another to love. We're to love one another. All these things as we hang around God's people, and we are strengthened thereby. Isaiah chapter 40 that we preach this morning for the third time. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, they that wait upon the Lord, those that hope and put and depend upon the Lord, put their faith and believing in Him, will have renewed strength. I'm thankful for that. And then our theme verse, for which cause we faint not. And though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm glad my strength can be renewed day after day after day. Continual renewal. All right, and then tonight, Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, and no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessities. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. And the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, bless this time. Help us, O Lord, again to see the benefits of giving and receiving. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul was giving to, during his affliction, by the church at Philippi. That word communicate means to give or to share. It means to give or to share. You can look up the same word. Best way to find the definition of that is a cross-reference. If y'all remember our theme verse a few years ago in the context there, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. It means to teach or to give or to share. This is also found in 1 Timothy 6:18. It uses the word communicate, meaning to give or to share. So the church at Philippi had given to him, monetarily given to him, to provide for his needs. And he thanked them. He thanked them. They had given to him before, verse 15 and 16. You can also look up 2 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 11, verse 6 and 8, 6 through 8, where he also gives the same account of how the Philippian church had given to him, communicated to him his needs. And they had given to Paul. You know, we ought to be givers. The Philippian church was a giving, caring church. They had helped him in his affliction. They had met his needs. And I was thinking about the Clarks there in Botswana and how they had to go back. And it was very, very expensive for them to fly back. I think it was $3,000 a ticket, something like that. And a lot of other expenses that came up all of a sudden. And, you know, if we don't step up and help with those needs, and who is, you know? And we ought to be that kind of church, and a giving and caring church. And we are. I know that. And so we need to continue to be a giving and caring church as we give to our missionaries and give to others around us, those in need. I think about the love offering we took for the victims in Houston and other areas, and also the Oaks family and other things we've done over the years. Just trying to be a blessing, trying to be a giving and a caring church. Paul was thankful for that. And then verse 17, We preached on this particular verse a few years back, and it's a great verse. It says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account." It's like he's saying, Paul's saying, I'm not dependent upon you. It's not that I desire a gift from you. It's like he's saying, God's going to take care of me either way. We mentioned that here in the chapter already. He's kind of already communicated that already. Hey, God is going to take care of me either way. But because you gave, there will be fruit to your account. Fruit to your account. We need to be reminded every once in a while that our gifts to the Lord are an eternal investment. As you give, it's an eternal investment. We ought to give. And we ought to give that things that outlast us here on earth. You've heard this silly illustration that you don't see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. And so you might as well give. Give. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have an emergency fund. I'm not saying you shouldn't have retirement money. I'm just saying there is a point. And we ought to give and make that eternal investment. Eternal investment. He said it'd be fruit to them. I do believe that song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. When we get to heaven one day, amen, there are going to be multitudes of people that we meet, amen, whom have been led to the Lord by some missionary we supported or by some Bible college student we helped because we support Bible colleges. I think that is just a great investment. Bible colleges, I mean, you get to support that person, that man or that woman, while they're in Bible college. It means every soul that is won to the Lord through their ministry is fruit to our account. That's like getting on the bottom floor of an investment. I mean, I'm talking about getting in on the bottom. It's awesome to think about. So one day we will get to heaven. I believe there will be people come up and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. May not say the exact thing, but I'm just saying there's going to be people. The fruit to our account, an investment that we made in eternity. And, of course, it's not just our gifts of monetary gifts, but our service that's going to outlast us as we serve the Lord, as we do for Him, as we work for Him. Our reward is in heaven. We know here that it says this gift was accepted by God. So I want to remind you that as we give as unto the Lord. Right? So I gave tonight in the offering. I did not give that to Heritage Baptist Church per se. I gave that to the Lord. That's what Paul's saying here. He said, God accepted this offering. He understands he's the one who took it in his hand, but God accepted it as a sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice sweet unto the Lord. As you give, and if your motives are right, and I pray you that they are as you give, and for the most part in our church, there's not a lot of... I've told you this illustration before, but when I was pastoring in the little town of Nakona, church of about 35 people, 40 people, there was a lady who sat on the second row, and the offering plate would go by, and she let it go past her. About half the time, she let it go past her, and then she'd raise her money up and have them come back by. I know her. I knew her motive. It wasn't about giving. It was about making sure people knew that she gave. Her reward will be here on earth. As we give, I'm not saying, sometimes we have people raise hands to give and do all those things, and we're not saying that you're not going to receive reward for things that are done publicly. It's all about your heart. All about your heart. Paul's saying here that they gave, their motivation or their motives was correct, and God accepted that sacrifice. God accepted that gift as unto the Lord. I think also, secondly, I think as we think about giving monetarily, that we ought to give unto the Lord. That means no strings attached. When we give, and we give with a little string, and we follow it around everywhere, that's not giving unto the Lord. You gave wanting to, anyway. I'm not saying you shouldn't designate money. We come up with funds, and we do things, missions fund, building fund, whatever it may be, and you can certainly give to many different options, but be careful about motives. I need to be careful about my motives when I give, and I ought to give as unto the Lord. Give as unto the Lord, and that offering will be accepted. When we give, we sacrifice. It is a sweet smell unto the Lord. Our works, in order to smell sweet, must be as unto the Lord. All right, so if you're teaching a Sunday school class, if you want that sacrifice to be a sweet smell unto the Lord, then it should be for Him. I gave this quote a few months ago. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China asked the question to some students in China, or to some students here in America going to China, what is your motive for going to China? And some of them said, well, to fulfill the Great Commission, or to reach people for the lost, or whatever. He said, if that's your motive, you'll never make it. He said, your motive ought to be the Lord. It ought to be the Lord. Pleasing the Lord. Serving the Lord. Because people will fail you. People will disappoint you, but God will never disappoint you. And so as we serve, as we teach a class, as we teach children's church, or we help in the nursery, whatever it may be, we're doing it as of the Lord. People are going to disappoint us. Kids, even, from time to time. Young people will disappoint us from time to time. So I don't base my service upon what I'm getting from the crowd or whatever the case may be. I serve as unto the Lord. Do all things to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. It's good for us to be reminded of that every once in a while, that my service is not to be selfishly motivated. And if you desire and you teach and it's just so that somebody sees you, that's not the right motivation. Or if you only to do so to get a pat on the back, that's not the right motivation. Whether it's singing or teaching or whatever it is, that we ought to do it as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And God is pleased when we sacrifice, and God is pleased when we serve, and God is pleased when we give. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Of course, he wants us to offer up ourselves a sacrifice, because it is our reasonable service. He gave all, and we certainly ought to give all. David said a couple of times, and even Abraham made a statement similar to this. He said, I will not offer up something to God that costs me nothing. We sacrifice and we serve and we give for Him. And I understand we're reaching people, and that is our purpose. But our motivation for reaching people is Him, is the Lord. Primarily. And again, we serve and we do those things, laying up treasures in heaven. All this life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And again, as Christians, for us to be reminded is a good thing. That your teaching, that'll outlast you. That your service, that you knocked that door, that you left that new member's, new move-in bag on a door, that'll outlast you. Amen. That'll outlast you. That offering you gave today, that's going to outlast you. That love you extended to your next door neighbor, that's going to outlast you. That service that you did for whomever is going to outlast you. It's kind of like this. I do things with my wife and for my wife that I do not want to do. She's not here, so I'm going to talk about her. We do the same thing with our children, don't we? I do things for my kids I do not necessarily want to do. I don't want to do. There are certain things I really don't want to do. I do them because I love them. That's my motivation. I do things for the Lord because I love Him. Because of what He did for me. And God will be pleased with that. All right, secondly, receiving. So Paul said, thank the Lord that you gave to me. It's offered as a sweet-smelling savor as unto the Lord, and there'll be fruit to your account. And then God's going to take care of you. Again, the whole book of Philippians is about doing for others. Remember there in chapter 3, he says, I find no man like-minded who will naturally care for their state, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. He said, they're all selfish. Paul said, look not every man on his own needs, but every man also on the needs of others. I mean, constantly throughout the book of Philippians, he's talking about being selfless, doing for others, looking out for others. And he gives the example of Jesus Christ. He gives the example of himself there in chapter 2. He gives the example of Epaphroditus, who we're doing for others. We say, if all I do is, things for others, who's going to take care of me? But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. You do for others. You serve others. You primarily live for others, and God will take care of you. Amen. God will take care of you. He will supply all your needs. He'll supply every need that you have. Paul had nothing to give in return to the church at Philippi, monetarily speaking. But God does. says Paul was sure their need would be supplied. Why? Because of the source. The source. But my God shall supply your need. Because God does supply his need. That word supply, by the way, the word supply means fill to the full or fill to the brim. But my God shall supply. God doesn't just give half. He fills it to the brim. He doesn't just fill the cup half full. He fills it to the brim. God will take care of every need that you have. And I do think we point out here, needs not wants. It doesn't say wants here. Now, the Bible makes it clear that, and we know this from Brother J.C. House, who it's his favorite verse, right? How many of y'all know where J.C. House's favorite verse is? Psalm 37. Remember that? Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall go, what? Give thee the desires of the heart of thine heart. Amen? So there is principle in the Bible for God not only supplying our needs, but supplying our wants as well. Amen. I'm glad he does that. I'm glad he doesn't just supply our needs, but here the promise is that he'll supply our needs. Our need. He'll supply our need. And here it is specifically says that. So, yes, there are biblical principles and biblical scripture that God will supply wants as well. Again, I'm thankful for that. I have a Mazda Miata, 1991 Mazda Miata, that attests to that. My wants. Drives like a go-kart. All I like is getting a paint job for it. It's in great shape. I've driven it 3,000 miles to California. I've driven it to Detroit, Michigan. I've driven it to Tampa, Florida. I've driven it to I drove it to Missouri here a week ago. I drove it to Brother Stone's place down in Corpus. That's pretty amazing. That's a miracle all in itself. God will supply your wants, but here again, specifically saying he'll supply your need. And I'm thankful for that because Paul had learned to be content. His needs were supplied. He had learned to be content. And when our needs are applied, we need to learn to be content. We need to be content with what such things as we have. All our needs. And this is where, again, the sermon laps over with this morning. What does that word all mean? It means all. That's just it. All. Physical needs. Emotional needs. Mental needs and spiritual needs. God will supply all our need. And whatever need you have tonight, God will supply it. Whether it's relational, whether it is stress related, or whether it's a financial need, or whatever it is. If it's a need, God will supply it. All our need. And he'll do it every time. How does he do that? Well, because he has a limitless supply. According to his riches and glory. Well, how rich is he? Well, we described it the other day, a few Sundays back, when we said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I think about just the value of what the earth is. And we talked about the minerals and the gold and the silver and the stone, all those things. The Bible speaks about God owning the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. I mean, God owns everything. God is the creator of all things. I mean, his glory in Christ Jesus, according to his riches and glory, I mean, the streets are made of gold. I don't know what else to say. Gates of pearls. That's pretty rich. Pretty rich. And we understand his supply is limitless. And so he has the ability to supply all of our needs. And then how is those things supplied? Well, they're supplied through the channel of Jesus Christ. According to his riches and glory, what? By Christ Jesus. And those needs are met through the person of Jesus Christ. By the way, he is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Christ is there. And but again, channeled through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God supplies all of our need. I hope you are as well. I'm thankful that the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture, leading me beside the still waters. I'm thankful that because I am in Christ, according to Ephesians, that because I'm in Christ, that I'm a part of his family. Again, as I said this morning, he's my big brother. And that does not demean him at all. That's what the Bible describes him as. He's my big brother. I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And surely God will take care of his children. If God will... God will take care of the sparrow, if God will take care of the grass in the field and the flowers in the flower bed, surely God will take care of you. A sparrow? A sparrow is worthless. I've said many, many times to you guys, when I growing up on the farm in Oklahoma, my great-grandpa had some big rules. Don't shoot anything that you won't eat, except blue jays, because they're mean, and other reasons why farmers don't like blue jays. Crows, by the way, you can't kill a crow. They are immortal. Seriously, how many of y'all ever tried to kill a crow with a gun? How many shots did it take? More than one. I'm telling you, man, they're tough birds. That's another thing. And blue jays, crows, and then sparrows. Sparrows were good practice shooting, and we were allowed to do that. If a sparrow, which are just, you can't number how many there are in the world, God takes care of them. Surely God will take care of you. That's what Matthew says. God will take care of you. He will supply all your needs. He gives some farewell words, and so we just address that. It says, salute every saint. It says, now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they which are the household of Caesar. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's kind of like at the end of a letter saying, in Christ, Eric Crawford. Or just ending it in a good fashion. And he does this in most all his letters. And I'm thankful for the grace of God. A couple things and we're done. You're going to get out early tonight. The theme is joy. But again, joy produced by being selfless. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. As we get older, we find this out. We do. It's so much better to give than it is to receive. In fact, some of us get to the point where I don't know of anything that I really... My wife has a hard time buying for me. I don't know what... That's why I enjoy Anniversary Sunday, getting all the little handmade stuff from the kids. I keep all that stuff. I love getting it back out, 10 years later and saying, oh, I saw, here's Kai's finger, handprint. Some of these guys, I have their stuff from when they were 3 or 4 years old. It's amazing. That's stuff that I'll remember. I don't remember, some other things. Not saying I don't like the gift cards and the candy bars, but I'm just saying, at what point? I'm thankful. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Looking out, giving, as we give as unto the Lord. Doing for others as if doing it for Christ produces fruit and produces joy. If you will do for others and do so selflessly as in the Lord, it will produce joy in your life. If you do it for selfish motivations, there's no joy in that. But as we do something for others, and we do so selflessly, God will bless that. Again, if we take care of others, God will supply all of our needs. And that's the book of Philippians. Let's stand. Hymn 153, I surrender all. A lot of application tonight. We are to give as unto the Lord. As we give liberally, we sacrifice and we serve, God will bless that and it will be fruit to our account. And then God will supply all of our needs, all of our needs. He is the source of the need, the source of our need. He has sufficient supply to meet all of our need. And He will of surety do it. He said, I shall. That's a surety. It will happen. Paul may know. No ifs, ands, or buts. No qualms. Amen. But my God shall supply all your need. Amen. Whatever need you have tonight, God will supply it. By the way, He's the standard too. There's no higher standard than Jesus Christ. Can't get bigger than that. You know, can't get bigger than that. Lord, we thank you for the precious promises found in this particular passage. And we thank you, Lord, that you have promised to supply our need. And Lord, I pray tonight if there's some needs here that need to be met, that you do so. We thank you for the promise of being of fruit being to our account. And one day we look forward to receiving that fruit and those crowns and those rewards and laying them at your Son's feet. Lord, help us to serve selflessly. God, help us and strengthen us to serve with pure motives. Lord, help us to serve as unto you and not unto men. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I surrender all. Goes good with the sermon tonight.
All to Jesus.